And we will help you keep it running thanks to the help we get from ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, good to see you.
Good morning.
Dan is taking the day off today.
Dan is enjoying a weekend with his wife and friends.
Well, good, as he should.
He should, yeah.
In fact.
As we said off the air, he's worked a lot of hours for a lot of years.
Long time.
He deserves his time when he gets it.
It wasn't Dan with his father initially. Isn't that how he kind of started in the business?
Well, his father, I don't know the complete story, but his father was in the business with the Amoco Standard Oil Station. Him and his brother both worked for their father, and I think as they all kind of grew up, they kind of spurted out into their own versions of the car business.
And Dan, for those that are new to the show, thanks for joining us. But Dan Burns is normally here, but Nick fills in all the time for Dan. And he's the boss.
Basically. Well, we were just talking about that. He's a true leader. He's the first guy there in the morning, the last guy to go home at night. If he's in the state of Minnesota, pretty good odds is that he's at Lloyd's Automotive.
Yeah.
You know, he sets a standard. He keeps us moving. Lets us know when we're wrong, pays us every 2 weeks. We got a pretty good deal going.
All right. Well, he's helped us out, as you know, Nick. Dan has helped us out here on CCO. We figure about 25 years or so, or maybe more. Wow. So the point is, if you have a vehicle problem and you need to take it in, your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, you want to know kind of up front what might be wrong with it, well, you can ask this guy that question, either by phone or by text. And here are the numbers. Same number, by the way, for both the phone and text. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Well, there's still plenty of time, and I know we'll probably even see you maybe at the State Fair. I'm not sure, but that might be.
You'll have to figure that schedule soon here, because usually it's I bring the whole group out there with me. We have
You do the first Saturday, and then Dan talks does the next Saturday.
Does he come out, or does he do it over the phone?
I can't remember.
We'll figure it out. Tell you what, we'll figure that out. Don't worry. Somebody will be there for sure.
Somebody will be there, because you don't want me answering car care questions.
Nah, you're better than you say.
You need the talent. What are folks coming up to Lloyd's for? Now, I suppose it's still summertime, still summer traveling.
We still have, you know, actually, as you asked us just a moment ago, a lot of what's going on, like in my world, kids' sports activities are just wrapping up for the summer. So all these families have their last chance to enjoy a week off on a road trip, a camping trip, a cabin trip, or whatever it may be. And after that long summer sports season, if you have multiple kids, you definitely know what I'm talking about here. You go to work and you run from one field to another and so forth and so on. But have your car looked at. The last thing you want is that 1 week of enjoyment with your family to be broken down on the side of the road in a small town without a hotel or who knows. So it's a really good idea just to call your shop up, and everyone around town is very busy, so it might take a couple of days to get in, but be proactive. Have that looked at not the day before you go, but the week before you go, and just to make sure you're not going to come across any unfortunate situation.
Yeah, because if you're miles away,
it could be a good adventure, too. You maybe have to set up the tent on the side of the highway. I don't know, but I would rather avoid that. If you're on the way to somewhere, you want to get to that destination.
I wonder how many people, and I guess I'm guilty of this too, of not checking the oil as often as I should in my vehicle.
No one does.
You think?
Think about this. Now, I started working for Dan when I was 15, as you know.
Yeah.
And we used to work the drive, which is when you'd go to the gas station and a young person would come out and they'd check your fluids, check your tires. Or people would do it themselves. When's the last time anyone was getting gas and saw somebody with their hood open checking their oil?
That's true. That is true.
And I can, based on my career choice here, I can tell you for certainty, most cars come in for an oil change and they're low on oil. Maybe not a significant amount, but some amount. And these cars are a huge investment. We ask so much more out of them than we used to in the past. You know, if you can go back a couple of decades, 100,000 miles and a car was worn out. Well, you buy a car now with 100,000 miles and don't think twice of it. So it's really important that little maintenance, those oil changes, on a regular basis, really help that car at the end of its life. I can't stress that enough. You know, we believe on a conventional oil, 3,000 miles, on a synthetic oil, 5,000 miles. I know a lot of owner's manuals will say different. I'm basing off of my experience and seeing cars with 150,000 miles that have mechanical issues because of, or even fewer miles, to be honest, mechanical issues because of lack of lubrication.
Yeah.
And an oil change is cheap. It really is.
Cheap maintenance.
Yeah.
All right, 651-989-9226. Let's pick up on phone calls and text messages. Now, keep in mind, Nick's going to be with us till about 7:45, so don't wait if you have a car care kind of question. Call it in or text it in before we run out of time. Let's go to the phones. Todd is calling from Blaine. Todd, you're on with Nick.
Hey, Nick. Good morning.
Morning.
I've got an 07 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, and I get about 8 miles to the gallon. I've tried spark plugs, wires, oil changes, everything, and I was just wondering if you can tell me what else I can do to try and improve my gas mileage.
If you're getting 8 miles to the gallon, I would assume that the check engine light would be on. I would assume that the fuel trims, which with a professional diagnostic tool, you can check that and read that and see that that fuel mixture is so far off, because if you're getting that much fuel, there's some sort of input to the computer that's misreading. That's telling it, hey, I need more gas. Actually, and that's not true. And eight miles is pretty low. I'd also consider maybe some driving habits. I know in the wintertime people always say, oh, my gas mileage is so bad in the winter. Why is that? Well, because we let our car run a little bit longer. The fuel does change, so that has something to do with it. But look at your routine. If you have your car idling a lot, that uses fuel. We don't always think of that. We always think about when we're driving. But if you're, I was waiting for all summer, I've been waiting for my kid to get done with their ball game, and I'm sitting there with the car idling, listening to the Twins on WCCO.
Yeah.
Well, while that's happening, you're using gas, and that will affect your gas mileage. So first thing, take it to your regular mechanic. Have him kind of do a scanning of the vehicle. See if there's any fault codes or any kind of misleading or confused information that can kind of be a good starting point.
That's a good idea, because that 8 miles to the gallon is not great.
My truck's is about as bad as they get, and it gets about 10.
Oh, really? You got a big truck.
Based on what it is, And so if you're getting less than 10 miles on anything, you need to have that looked
at. There's an issue there. All right. I said, and thanks, Todd, there's a line open if you want to call in your question for Nick, 651-989-9226. Here's a text, and then we'll take a quick break. How necessary is it to put your mirrors in when you go through the car wash? This particular vehicle is a GMC Sierra pickup. Thank you, it says.
Well, we have similar pickups, and I don't. But the signs do say we're not responsible for folding mirrors in. So if something were to happen, it's on you. I have a big truck and big mirrors that hang way off the side of it, and I don't. So you should if you're worried about them breaking. Will something happen? It hasn't to me at this point.
All right. 651-989-9226. That's the number for phone calls and text messages for Nick from Lloyd's Automotive. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Located exactly where, Nick?
Well, we're in St. Paul. We're at 982 Grand Avenue. Beautiful Grand Avenue. A lot going on. On my way home last night from work, I noticed all the restaurants have the tables outside, and people are enjoying a little happy hour. And I was thinking, boy, I wish that was me. But instead...
You're inside working.
We're working and running home to the kids. And if you ever need to give us a call, we're at 651-228-1316. And if you're on your computer, your tablet, your phone, we're at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good. All right. We have callers. We have texters, Nick. So let's put you back to work here. Craig, I think, is calling from Somerset with a question. Go ahead, Craig. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Nick. How are you guys? So I have a 2006 Lucerne, and if I let the car sit for 8-9 days without driving it, the battery runs dead. And so I'm not sure if I'm what's drawing power all the time that would draw the battery down, or if I just need a new battery.
Well, it could be one of the either or both. It could be the fact that the battery is aged. You might have a version of a drain on the battery. So I wouldn't tell you just to throw a battery and see what happens, because if there is some sort of parasitic drain there, it's going to affect your new battery also. So my recommendation would be have somebody put a meter on it. There is a process to check for any kind of wearing on the battery or the electrical system. They can hook the meter up, let it sit for an hour, see if what we call times out, meaning that everything shuts down. My suspicion is that there's something that's staying awake. It's not like years past where you'd see a light bulb on or a door ajar or something like that. There's a lot of computers within that vehicle that might not be shutting off for a reason or another. If that computer's staying on, it's going to wear that battery down. So after a week, it's a pretty decent drain, probably a couple hundred milliamps, I would think, or more, that'll wear that battery down. So you should take it into your shop, ask for an electrical systems test, tell them that explain your concern. They should be able to perform that test with that meter. If it passes that test, they'll test your battery. And my suspicion is that you'll find that the battery just ran its course and needs replacement.
Okay. There you go, Craig. Thank you. Let's go. We're going to pick up on a text in a moment. Merle, Forest Lake is our next destination. Go ahead, Merle.
Good morning. I have a 1996 GMC Sonoma. And when I first start it up in the morning, it pops right off. But if I run an errand and I'm out of it for 15, 20 minutes, I have to get it a lot of gas to get it to run again. What are the possible causes?
For those that don't know, a Sonoma is a small pickup.
The
S10. So my guess would be that you have an issue with the fuel pressure regulator, maybe. The reason why it pops off in the morning is because that regulator has a little bit of a leak, which is ran off a vacuum and connected to the fuel system. When you shut the vehicle off, that vacuum depletes. If there's a rupture in that diaphragm, that fuel pressure, which is still under pressure, that fuel is, as it bleeds down, that fuel is going into the engine. If it sits overnight, it evaporates and it's fine. If you let it sit for 20 minutes, it's kind of flooded the motor a little bit. You go to fire it up, and there's too much fuel to get it running. So take it to your mechanic. Describe that. You know, and if he's not sure, mention maybe there's a possibility of a problem with the fuel regulator. Make a simple test for them to perform, and then hopefully they'll get you back up on the road and running well.
All right. Very good. Hope that helps, Merle. Thanks for calling. Merle leaves that line open at 651-989-9226. That's the same number to send in your text message. Sandy is with us from Northfield. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just have a quick question.
Yeah.
In the morning or when I leave, my car has this funny sound. When I have my window down, I can hear kind of a soft slapping sound on the left-hand side, the driver's side, and I've been told it's called a wheel slap, and that nobody seems to be too concerned about it, but I just wonder, I've heard other cars with it too, and I don't know if I had the wheels changed around, and I can still hear it, and then it goes away, and it'll just be intermittent, but does that make any sense? Do you know what that might be?
Well, a lot of times, it's first thing in the morning, we have a little noise, you know, slower speeds, windows down, goes away after a little bit of driving. Typically, my experience has been that there's a little bit of surface, I don't want to use the word rust, because it's just a little corrosion, maybe we'll call it, on those brake rotor areas. So as you're driving down the road.
It's a 2016 Honda CR-V, so just so you know, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. You're fine. So like I was saying, And as you drive the vehicle and you stop a couple times, the brake pads will clean that surface area off and get rid of that noise. So as you're going down, there might be an imperfection in that rotor. As it rotates, as the tire rotates, you get a little noise that you call the slapping noise. There's a lot of different descriptions that people can use. But I suspect that that's what you're hearing. Then as you drive for a few moments, a couple stops, a couple miles, it tends to go away. So based on what you're telling, what I think, and I agree with the other folks, I don't think it's anything to worry about. It's just sometimes a result of a high humidity, where you park the car. You know, if you put it in the garage or outside, maybe try something a little bit different to see if you can change that. And I mentioned my truck once today. Most mornings, that first block of driving my truck, the brakes kind of squeak and squawk a little bit until they clean up. But nothing to be worried about. I think you'll be just fine.
Hey, Sandy.
Thank you.
Are you the Sandy that's traveled with us? I'm trying to think, what trip was that? The California, what was that?
California trip, yes.
Yes. By the way, next September, we're going back there.
Oh, cool. Yes. Okay, yeah, I didn't want to bother you, but yes, yeah, it was. That was a fun trip.
It was fun, and I hope to see you on another one. Thanks, Sandy.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Sandy and it was a California trip a few years back. 651-989-9226. I know we had to head to a quick break here. Nick's going to be with us for about another 15, 17 minutes or so. So call in your car care question or send a text, and when we come back, we'll pick up on our text messages so we don't forget those texters either, Nick. So hang on. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we have callers, we have texters, and we did promise we'd pick up on some text messages. Let's get to a couple here. Here's one that says, my wife and I just completed a 3,663-mile road trip. Should my next oil change be sooner than the 6 months recommended because of the additional miles?
You know, highway miles aren't as hard. as city miles on oil. It's a long trip, you know. The other thing is that the car experienced some things it doesn't normally experience just simply because of like, the duration of driving. Now, when you drive a car a half hour every day and then you go drive it for 6 hours or 7 hours in a day, it experiences a few different things. So, you know, I think I would probably cheat it up a little bit. You know, I just worry, you know, what's the oil level like? You know, have you checked the oil? I mean, like we touched on earlier. And So I would say yes. I think you should probably be, you know, maybe split the difference, going a little bit earlier. Do have it checked. I mean, if it's low at all, you know, when you're running it that long, if you burn any oil, you want to make sure that you're not running any risk of creating any damage. So check the oil, maybe split the difference on the timing, and I hope you had a good trip.
Now, I want to ask you about some vehicles. I know I owned one for a while that didn't have a dipstick, and it kind of bothered me.
Yeah.
How accurate are those things you read on the screen?
They're fairly accurate for sure. I don't like it either.
No.
I like a dipstick where I can see with my own eyes, and you know that leads to a whole bunch of other issues. But we're not going to go there.
Okay.
No, but you know it's you know the cars have been designed very well to help us. Part of the issue though is that now we become so reliant on these sensors and stuff that we don't even check our tires. We just assume that they're okay, and in most cases that's fine. But you know. The next time you stop for gas, pop the hood. Just look around a little bit. You know, I mean, just familiarize yourself. Get the owner's manual. Figure out – there are still things you can check and look at. Walk around your car. Look at your tires. Maybe there's a gash in your tire you're not aware of. It might be full of air, but there's a – or a bulge or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's things that happen more than just the pressure or just – you know, you open the hood and you might find that something's made a nest in there. Get that resolved before they damage some wiring. You know, there's a lot of little things we can do with our car that doesn't require so much know-how. I mean – figure out open the hood. Let's everyone do that
no,
today.
That's true. You know, that's I mean, a good point.
You know, just figure out some of these things. So in the event you have an issue, you're a little bit prepared.
And you and Dan always say, well, maybe not always, but have in the past, use your actual key in your door locks.
Yeah, if your car is still equipped, which most still are, and most of those fobs have a key built into them, figure that out. Because if you don't ever use that door lock cylinder, the day that that fob, that little remote breaks and you can't get into your car, you're going to wish you had.
Yeah.
So exercise. Everyone today, find out how to open your hood and figure out how to put the key and unlock your door. That's
very good.
Your homework.
That's your project. All right, let's go back to the phones. Brian has been waiting on the line there to ask a question. Brian, what's your question?
Yeah, hi. I have a 2012 Chevy Impala that runs fine, except when driving probably around 55 to 60 and going up a slight incline, it'll kind of hesitate. And if I step on it, it'll run fine again, but it just has a hesitation. I've replaced the plugs.
I'm sorry about that. So what you're describing, I think, is a torque converter shuddering a little bit. You know, as you're going up an incline, the car is trying to determine whether or not it wants that torque converter engaged. I wouldn't get too aggressive on what I was going to do until someone looked at it. You know, changing the fluid, could that help? Yes. Could there be a solenoid sticking? Yes. Could there be something larger looming with the transmission? Maybe. Have somebody hook up a scan tool, take it for a drive, see how all those solenoids and how that whole transmission's operating. If there is a misfire that you kind of described, there'd be some fault information stored, or there'd be a misfire counter that's reading that. Typically, if there's an issue with the torque converter engaging and disengaging, there should be some information on that also. So this is one of those deals where it doesn't seem too severe, but it's probably a good idea to have somebody take a peek before it does become a bigger problem for you.
Okay.
So that'd be my advice. Have your people take a look at it and just to make sure you're not headed down the wrong path.
There you go, Brian. Thank you. More texts in a moment. Tom is calling in from Egan, however, with a question. Tom, go ahead. You're on CCO.
Hey, good morning. I have a 2018 Ford Edge, and only have about 20,000 miles on it. But back in March, I had a crack in the windshield, and so I had the windshield replaced, and it was everything worked fine for about a day or two, and then my wipers started acting up, and it kind of get hung up when they were operating, and they'd even cross each other. And so I went back to the glass company that changed it, and they rechecked everything and even put on another set of blades. But the same thing happened again a few days later. Unless it's really pouring down rain, like an intermittent rain, they would have problems. And I ended up, even went to the Ford dealership and had them change there. And so now I'm back to the glass company again, and I said nothing, never had any of these issues until, you know, I had the windshield replaced. But now they're talking about changing the motors for apparently each wiper blade has a motor, changing the motors out because the blades are a little bit looser than they should be. But it just seems kind of crazy with all this going on.
So real quick, usually when you have to replace the windshield, you need to remove the wiper arms to gain access because, the wipers are laying on the windshield, right? So you got to take them off. And we tend to, when you reinstall those wiper arms, it's on a splined piece, and then you have a nut that holds it in place. Maybe there's an issue with the spline part of it, you know, so maybe you need to have someone go one step further, not just the blades, but remove those arms and see what that looks like. You know, see if there's some wear, maybe that cone-shaped piece that the wiper arm pushes down onto, maybe how some way that got disturbed. So I think if we go one step further, you might have some more clues to what's going on there. And, you know, I'm sorry, brand new car, new windshield for obvious reasons, and then you're having some problems like this. But I think if you go back to the dealership maybe and say, hey, here's what's happening, kind of write down the timeline for them so they can see it with you, and maybe they'll go one step further and get you all fixed up.
Okay. There you go, Tom. Texter said, forgive me because I'm going to have to translate this a little bit. There's a few typos here. But it's an 08 Ford Taurus. And I assume he is saying, or she, my son was on his way to work. It slowed down. The car would not go over 40. The engine revved to 7,000 RPM. Then there was a big jerk, revved it again, and then it quit. I don't know if that you can help that person out or not.
So are you sure it's misspelling, or are they using that short text language that none of us can understand?
No, it's not that. I wish they would have.
I can't follow that.
No.
My wife will say, I'm like, you need to use words. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I can't full follow. Sentences. Full
or
sentences.
Ian, for sure, my 16-year-old, he sends these like three or four letters put together. And
he
supposed to know what that means. Well, that situation, you know, I don't know. You know, revving the engine that high, don't do that. You know, it sounds like it may be – it was slipping. You know, back to a similar concern before here with the transmission. You know, if the engine's revving, the car's not going, there's a disconnect. So my best assumption is that there's something going on with the transmission. That vintage, you know, if it's low on fluid, it could slip. That one has a dipstick. You know, you probably don't have the owner's manual, but you can definitely Google the procedure to check that fluid. Check the fluid, and if it's low, add some. You know, that might be creating your whole problem there. So easy step that, you know, a person with little information can probably take that first step.
All right. Now, I'm not sure if this is doable. It's a 2014 Honda CR-V. The question is, what can I do to improve the ride of my 2014 CR-V? I mean, can you change things like shy? Yeah, I assume you want to do what the manufacturer put on there.
Yeah, I know. You're not going to – I mean, you can adjust tire pressures a little bit. The door placard will have a tire pressure recommendation, which oftentimes I feel is a little bit lower than it should be. Read that placard. Maybe adjust it down to that. Don't go lower than that, but go to what the door placard says. It'll say at cold temperature, so first thing in the morning – adjust it to that and see how the ride is. You can rotate the tires. Maybe you're getting a little uneven wear to it, which gives it that little cupping to it, which kind of gives you – it's not so much a bad ride, but that sensation. There's a little bit of a humming or there's – you know, a lot of times with cars now, we have noises that become feels. And even though it's not really a feel, you get rid of the noise and it's all better. So rotate the tires. Try changing the pressures and see where that gets you.
All right. A couple of things to think about. Let's see. Turning – this is from Tom from Lakeville. Turning 70 – need to get my last new SUV midsize. What do you think is the best? Well, best one to last 10 to 15 years and be able to go 150,000 miles.
You're turning 70, you worked your whole life, go buy that Lamborghini SUV. It's only $200,000. You can't take the money with you. The kids won't need it. No, in half seriousness, what do you like? Go, you know, don't make the list too long. Make that list of three or four. You know, maybe you've been a Chevy guy or a Ford guy or a Toyota guy or whatever it might be. But get that short list and then find another one and go drive a couple. See what you like. You know, I mean, talk to your friends, your neighbors. Somebody's had a good experience with a person at a dealership. You know, the dealerships have changed a lot. That, you know, there's not so much of that negotiating. They're a little more easy to work with. So I think if you get the short list of the ones that you like, go drive a couple of them. And like I said, worst case, just go buy that Lamborghini. It'll That'll suit you just fine.
I suggest they go to Maplewood Toyota. But that's just me.
Had a lot of luck with them. They've done really good for us. Our shop truck is from there. Dan's truck is from there. And, Rory works out there. He's a great guy. We've had a lot of luck. So if you're a Toyota guy, it's a good place to go.
I had to just mention that. Of course, you know I did.
I know you did.
All right. There were some suggestions there. Those are suggestions. Texter, and I know we have, a minute to go, maybe a fast one. A 2008 Chevy Cobalt, 5-speed, not quite as snappy as it used to be when shifting, accelerating, 108,000 miles on it. What should I have checked out to remedy this?
Maintenance. Usually when things just change a little bit, like, hey, it used to seem like it was better, you know, and a lot of vehicles still have a fuel filter that's replaceable, spark plugs, air filters, throttle body cleanings, transmission services, driveline fluids. You know, you look in that owner's manual, there's, you know, especially around 100,000 miles, there's a series of things that are called for as maintenance. Now, not any one of them make a huge change, but you start to pick away at these things and you start to notice that your car is a little happier, a little fresher.
Yeah.
And it responds better, handles better. So probably needs a little maintenance.
Well, speaking of maintenance, if you need some help, you guys are open today, right?
I'll be there after I leave here.
Just a few minutes and you're open till noon, I believe.
That's correct.
All right. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
We're at 651-228-1316.
Excellent. Have a good week.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks very much. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.